Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan Pompey! Dan Pompey! With Mully and Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dan Pompey joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Morning, Dan.
Good morning, fellas. Smell of turkeys in the air. Should be an interesting day tomorrow, right?
Well, you know, I hate to say it because it's every victory is sacred in the NFL and nothing is easy. And we certainly saw that against the New York Football Giants last week, Sunday. But I got to say, if you go in there and don't win, then somebody needs to answer for that, because this is a team that is perhaps down to their third quarterback and a team that has lost 7 of 8, 4 in a row. And you have aspirations to be a winning program, to have a winning season. You got to go in there and win that game. It's just there's we got to start holding people accountable.
Yeah, it's an important game for the Bears, and I don't think it's a given, though. I really don't. I don't know. You know, I heard you guys talking earlier, and I think that it's easy to look at the game on paper and say, well, you know, the Bears have a better team. Lions have been struggling, and all that's true. I mean, Lions are in a really bad way. I mean, they just lost to the Washington Redskins. As you said, they might be trotting out a third-string quarterback, and, you know, their quarterback depth was, you know, as questionable as any teams in the league prior to the injury to Matt Stafford. You know, we never thought that we would think that losing Jeff Driscoll could be a big deal for the Lions. But the fact is, it could be. You know, you could have a big impact on that offense based on losing him. He did some good things against the Bears a few weeks ago. So, you know, that's an issue. But I think, you know, to get back to the point that the Bears, you know, I don't think that if they're off their game, they could lose to any team in the league. And the Lions certainly still have some players who are capable of making big plays and taking advantage of mistakes. And if the Bears make those mistakes, the Lions can make them pay.
Excellent point. And I think the same logic applies, that if you're going to say, yes, the Bears could go into Detroit and lose because it is the NFL, you also could look at the other way. If the Bears can come back from Detroit 6-6, then you look at the next week against Dallas. It doesn't seem insurmountable. And then you look at them going up to Green Bay and maybe getting Akeem Hicks back. Dan, could you make an argument, you know, tomorrow afternoon, if the Bears are able to get the victory that actually they should get going up there, that this is a team that still has some goals that are realistic to reach and possibly, you know, you use the word playoffs as maybe the carrot to dangle, but is that ridiculous?
Well, certainly if I'm Matt Nagy and if I'm a coach on the Bears, I'm making that argument, right? Because I think it's possible. You know, all things are possible in the NFL. This is the league where anything can happen. So, and we've seen things happen that are very improbable, or things happen that you really don't expect. So you certainly operate with that hope and with that goal in mind. Is it probable, though? No, it's not. I mean, I think this is not a team that has demonstrated at any point this season that they can beat good opponents like the Green Bay Packers, like the Minnesota Vikings, like the Kansas City Chiefs, and probably even like the Dallas Cowboys. So I think they've got a tough road ahead, and some of those teams probably are going to get back to exposing the flaws of the 2019 Bears.
The Bears were trying to sell the idea yesterday that Khalil Mack is having a more dominant year this year than last. Look, unfortunately for Khalil, these things are measured in discernible statistics, and one of them is wins and losses. And while the defense has done well keeping teams off the board, They've been moved around quite a bit. They've run at him quite a bit. I mean, I got nothing but respect for Mac, but I think it's a really hard argument.
Well, you know, there's no question he hasn't been as productive as he was a year ago. I didn't hear the comment yesterday, but I would say that, you know, that it's possible from a coaching standpoint, you might look at tape and say he's executing his assignments better. I mean, I don't know that. I don't know what his assignments are. Being on the outside, we don't know exactly what is expected of him on a play-to-play basis. But, you know, certainly the production is not what it was a year ago, and that could be due to a lot of factors. Certainly, I think the loss of Akeem Hicks has been big, and maybe the types of offenses they're playing, the way certainly that he's being blocked, you know, a lot of different issues there. But I think the other thing is, you know, he's been a little streaky this year. Of course, he was streaky last year, too. You know, he went through a period where he was hurt and still playing, but didn't produce the same way a year ago. But I think, you know, there's no question the production is down, and you would like more production out of him. You would like more game-changing plays from him.
So, Dan, you got a quarterback who enjoys playing freer and faster in an up-tempo offense and maybe some no huddle. You've got also an offense that cannot score in the first quarter, first half, and it's really bad out of the gate. You wait until halftime, then they make the adjustments, and it'd be great if they could make those adjustments before kickoff, but it's not happening. So if you're Matt Nagy and you're devising the game plan this week for tomorrow, are you coming out and sticking to your 15-play script? Are you adjusting that at all? Are you coming out of the gate maybe in up-tempo to try to trigger something that hasn't been there?
Why not? You know, why not try whatever? Because certainly whatever they've done in the first half on those first drives has not worked. So I think if you see something that has been working, it's worth trying. Obviously, there's a reason they haven't done more of it, and I'm not quite sure what it is. But, you know, I'd like to see them try it anyway at some point. You know, whether or not this is the week to do it, I'm not sure. You know, typically when you face an opponent on a short week like this, you don't try to do a lot of things that are different or things that are challenging in terms of preparation. So I don't know if this is the time you'd want to really do something that's kind of drastically different from what you've been doing. But I think that is something that has worked, and it's something that's worth exploring further.
Dan, I've heard the turn of phrase serious reservation, serious doubt, serious concern, but it was new to me to hear Ian Rappaport say the Bears have serious confidence in Mitchell Trubisky. Do they have serious confidence in him, and what the hell does that mean?
Well, you know, I mean, what are they going to say? Are they going to say we have no confidence in him, or our confidence has been rattled in him? You know, you can't say that. We've been disappointed in him. You know, everything that comes out of a coach or a general manager's mouth during the season is a message to his own players or their own players. And I think, you know, what they need to message to that team is that we are behind Mitch Trubisky, and we need you to be behind Mitch Trubisky. And that's what it is. Now, you know, will their actions give you a different message in January, February, March? I believe they probably will, although there's still season to be played here and still, you know, evaluations to be made on Mitch Trubisky. But I think, you know, there's a good chance, highly probable, that this team is going to go out and at the very least acquire another veteran quarterback who could come in and push Mitch Trubisky, compete with Mitch Trubisky, and be a safety net in case he has another year in 2020 like he's having in 2019.
Dan, Molly and I are already having fun debating the merits of some of the names on the list of the 25 semifinalists for the Hall of Fame. It was released. It's always fun. This year's class goes in, and I think the names on there, the new ones, the first-year eligible players, Polamalu, Reggie Wayne, Patrick Willis, boy, you know, it's tough to look at those. Which one of those maybe stands out as a no-brainer? Maybe Polamalu to me. I think that's the one. There's some other names on the list. Do you get nervous? Do you get anxious? What is your reaction when this list comes out every year because you take this role so seriously?
Yeah, you know, the list is going to be pared down further, of course, before we get into the room and actually have the debate. So some of those names aren't even going to be in the discussion. But, yeah, you look at it, and I always look at the guys who didn't make the list. That's the first thing I did yesterday was go back and look. Oh, this guy didn't make it. That guy didn't make it. You know, there were a number of guys who I voted for who did not make the 25. And, you know, that's I was wondered about that. But, you know, it's a good list. There are a lot of really strong names. I think Polamalu is a really strong name, and he's certainly a candidate to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And, you know, we've got a lot of guys who've been sitting there in the queue for a number of years we've been talking about who I think are strong candidates, and hopefully this will be a year to get rid of or move along some of those guys, some of those offensive linemen. You know, we've had Steve Hutchinson and Alan Faneca and Tony Boselli there. We've had John Lynch and Steve Atwater, you know, safety. So, you know, hopefully,
Hines Ward belongs in the Hall of Fame. Come on.
Well, he's an interesting guy, you know, a guy that I don't believe we've had him in the room up to this point, to my knowledge. And a guy who, you know, is a different type of player, you know, doesn't have the same kind of statistics that we're seeing some of the modern era wide receivers come out with, but a guy who impacted games in different ways, very physical, you know, great blocker, was a great weapon in the run game that you don't see wide receivers like that very much anymore.
Change the rules of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's going to be, you know, he's going to be interesting discussion when and if he gets in the room. And, yeah, the other thing that we're working on now is the centennial class. You know, there's going to be a special class this year, and we've had a number of phone meetings on that, and that's been a fascinating process too, to try to look at some of the senior candidates and some of the contributors and some of the coaches as well. We're going to get some coaches in this year, and that's I'm really happy that we are addressing that, because it's hard to get coaches in when you're comparing them to players. And I think we've got a little bit of a backlog there. And so, you know, we're talking about this year guys like, you know, Bill Cowher and Tom Flores and Mike Holmgren and Dick Vermeil and, you know, even Clark Shaughnessy and Don Coryell. So we're going to get some of them in, and we're going to get some contributors in, and maybe clear the queue of those guys, and then go back and get 10 seniors in. So that part of it's been very exciting. It's been a fascinating process to work with this blue ribbon panel that includes some great names like Bill Belichick and Ron Wolf and Gil Brandt and John Madden, as well as some of the selectors. So that's been a lot of fun.
So Dan, what's your pick for the Bears game?
You know, I'm going to go with the Bears. You know, I think you have to, but it would not surprise me. I think it's going to be Bears, I'd say, maybe by 6 points.
Great stuff, Dan. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Have a great Thanksgiving, buddy.
You too.
Enjoy your Turk Duncan.
I certainly will.
All right, buddy. That is Dan Pompey, the Hall of Famer, who votes on the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, there's some interesting names on there. And I love the idea of the centennial class, and some of those guys who have not gotten in as coaches might be their opportunity. Does that water it down to some people, do you think? Does that dilute the process?
I mean, listen, the Hall of Fame has been well protected. Mm-hmm. And there are people that belong in it that haven't gotten in. I don't think it waters it down at all.
I like the idea of having this big ceremony where there's more than just five guys.
Sounds good to me. Centennial. You could take advantage of it to kind of make up for some maybe some oversights. It'll be interesting. You know what's really interesting about the Hall of Fame is when you look at it, you also have to keep an eye on the guys coming up and make sure you have the line moving, because you can get backlogged at a position where somebody might deserve to get in, but then there's someone that comes in that deserves it more.
And that's why you got me thinking about Hines Ward. I need to really think about that before there are other receivers that might be in line, though.
He was my favorite player for a number of years.
Yeah.
And part of it was, again, they had to change the rules because he was such a vicious, mean-spirited blocker, and he was ending careers. So they had – I mean, when a guy is so good, you have to change the rules about it? It's pretty awesome. And again, a college quarterback turned receiver, won Super Bowls, great player. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Were you surprised the Giants attempted to block Khalil with one guy a couple of times last week? We haven't seen that in a while.
Fired up. I was fired up.
Yeah.
So was he, yeah. Talking about the strip sack.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what our record is when he has a strip sack over the last 2 years?
What is it?
7-1.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Take that.
That's when they had the good coordinator in, though. Hey, knock it off.
How many of those were Vic Fangio's? Yeah.
That is a joke.
Needs another strip sack fumble tomorrow.
He needs two, apparently.
But you know he's playing better than he was last year. No, let's look at that for a second, because I think you make a really good point. And Dan alluded to it. There is a possibility that when the Bears are grading film, that when they look at Khalil Mack through 11 games of 2019 and maybe 11 games through 2018, that he's grading out higher than he did when you're just checking a box, plus or minus, plus or minus. Did he do his technique here? Did he keep contained there?
Yeah.
Could that be what they're referring to? Because what we see isn't as dominant, but what they are evaluating might be as efficient.
Listen, I like Chuck Pagano, Chuck Strong, all that, okay? So I don't want this to go out the wrong way, but it's really hard to get a strip sack when you're dropping in coverage. That's all I'm going to say.
Bingo.
So bingo. That is part of the problem. You don't know what he's being asked to do, when he's being asked to do it, how they've changed his role. And obviously, if you're an offensive coordinator and you are taking on the Chicago Bears, what is the first thing that you are game planning? How do we stop this guy? And we've seen teams manage to do it. Now, it takes a village. Don't get me wrong. It's not just one player throughout the course of the game. But
there have been times, though, Mully.
He has not had the production / impact on some of these games.
Forced to look at it closer, you remember the Packers game in the opener.
Yes.
They handled him a lot one-on-one. The Raiders did that well.
Raiders did it very well.
You know, the Raiders did not have to take a village to control Khalil Mack. It will be interesting to see what the Lions do tomorrow. Taylor Decker, as we pointed out, has been playing at a high level at left tackle.
It takes a game plan, though.
It does take a game plan. I would like to see a game plan defensively.
Fair enough.
That would be more creative, perhaps, and maybe that's oversimplifying it, maybe that's not fair, but I don't notice as much Khalil Mack moving around on the defensive front to try to free himself to get to the quarterback as much as maybe I thought that I would with Chuck Pagano. You know what I mean? I thought that maybe in this aggressive approach, the way that they would have to maybe alter the scheme at times because they were so good last year, and it was a new coordinator. I guess maybe I don't know if it was fair to expect more, but I think I expected more.
I think that's fair to expect more. Here's the thing, and you know we talk about it all the time. To whom much is given, much is expected. And this is a guy that you went after, and you traded a couple of number one picks, which is fine. He's well worth it. You made the move of the century to bring him into your program, and you then made him the richest player in defensive history. Now, those contracts are all always passed up and gone by, and other players sign after your guy, but You made the investment of draft capital. You made the investment of money, and therefore the expectations are through the roof. I felt he hit all his expectations a year ago. Now, if the coach is up there confessing, I'm not using him as well as he's been used in other systems. If that's what that's about, then that's great. But you can't really make that argument that he has had a better year because the team hasn't had the same year.
I agree. It's a bottom line industry, and the Bears defense has, I don't want to say regressed, but certainly they have not dominated the way they did last year. There are a lot of reasons for that. You lose Danny Trevathan. You lose Akeem Hicks. You're going to take maybe a half step backward. So they still have held opponents 8 out of the 11 games, 17 points or fewer. You should be better than 5-6.
That's right.
So tomorrow, in the context of the Lions, Jeff Driskel is not an accomplished quarterback, but we saw when he played the Bears the first time, he does have some skills, and he is running the football effectively. He's using his legs because he's not the most polished of passers. Does that concern you if you're the Bears, and how do you maybe game plan for that, knowing what you're getting this time rather than being surprised at kickoff?
Well, I think the guy's got a hamstring injury, so I don't, you know, there's 1,000 different ways that you can play through an injury. I don't know that you can play through a hammy. I don't know that there's a shot you can take to make the hamstring more pliable. I just don't think that works. So if a guy's got a hamstring problem, he's not running. It's as simple as that. So if that's his, if you deem that the aspect of mobility to be his greatest quality as a quarterback, then maybe you ought to start the third stringer.
Well, maybe so.
Who is not a runner. He is more a stationary
what
target.
What a challenge.
And that would mean that Khalil Mack can have more of an impact if indeed you let him rush the passer, and if he gets any help from the guys around him, so that they have to be worried about something else.
The way the Lions can hurt the Bears is the same way that we talked about several weeks ago. They have wide receivers that can change a game with one great catch. You throw them a 50-50 ball, and that's what's dangerous about the Lions team that really is playing for nothing but pride, and you have a quarterback who's trying to find his way. Is that he's going to be more willing to take those kind of chances because they have nothing to lose. And is also an experience. So that plays to your advantage, but also maybe to your disadvantage. If he thinks that a guy, he may make a bad pass, he may make a bad decision, and Galladay may go up and make it look like a great one because it's like, no, yes, because he can go up over one of your cornerbacks and make a play.
312-644-6767. Les is in Oak Park. Hey, Les.
Hey, Les.
Good morning. You know, hope springs eternal in the human boobs, right?
Sure.
The Packers and Vikings have to play each other, so one of them is going to have, they both have 3 losses now, one of them is going to have 4 losses. If the Bears can take care of business, and this is a big if, of course, and beat the Packers and the Vikings, one of them is going to have 5 losses, one of them is going to have 4 losses. Now, if you look at the standings, unfortunately the Seahawks are 9-2. We need a major miracle.
Yes.
But it's not completely undoable.
Well, it's also listen, Les, thanks for the phone call. It's also unlikely to be accomplished. Certainly, 10-6 has gotten teams in the playoffs, and that's kind of, you think 10-6 will get you in the playoffs. But if you look at the league has a losing record. So that tells you that there are teams that are beating up on teams. So you'd have to go through the schedules. I'm sure there is a mathematical formula in which 10-6 gets the Bears in, but 9-7 doesn't.
9-7.
And 10-6
no.
Has, you know, Lovie Smith went 10-6 and got fired in his final season because he didn't make the playoffs. So it's not beyond the realm that you could finish 10-6 and not get in. But again, it'd be nice to see the Bears start stacking some wins.
Yeah.
Because they have been the most turkey-jerky team. The only thing they've stacked this year is losses.
I wouldn't wait for the Seahawks to regress. I wouldn't wait for the Vikings to take a step backward. If you're looking for a team that could maybe slide a little bit in the final 5 weeks of the season, it could be the Packers. I mean, they're, to me, are the most – I have a hard time understanding how they have won 8 games.
And you know what? You got to win this game, and then you got to come back and beat Dallas at home, and then – you get Akeem Hicks back, and you start talking about the Packers.
Yeah, because then it's a sprint, three-game sprint.
But you have to stack wins, mm-hmm. which, again, is easier said than done in the NFL.
Speaking of having no shot at the playoffs, my fantasy football team is dead and buried at this point.
That's shocking, Kevin.
I know.
So Dave Richard can't save
Dave
you?
Richard, a miracle from one Dave Richard cannot help me. But if you're still alive out there in your fantasy leagues, we're going to have him coming up next after the update. How's that sound?
That's a good tease.
Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. Dave Richard is a Chicago guy made good. He, of course, CBS Sports fantasy football expert. He joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Dave.
Morning, Dave.
It never gets old hearing that intro, Molly. Thank you for that. Good morning to you. Good morning, David. And listen, this is crunch time for real in fantasy football. Last week of the regular season in most leagues, the playoffs are right around the corner. People are looking to clinch. Let's get into it.
All righty. We won't waste any time. Your public seeks you. We'll start with Dave, who's in Berwyn. Dave, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wanted to start off by saying I'm a better fantasy GM than Ryan Tradup will ever be. To that end, I want to know, if should I give Lamar Jackson the week off since he had such a great game on Monday and start Sam Darnold or not? I'll hang up and listen, guys. You guys have a great Thanksgiving. You thanks too, a lot.
Buddy. Yeah, a good fantasy GM doesn't take the best player in fantasy football out of his starting lineup. So now I'm questioning your intelligence as a fantasy manager. Lamar Jackson should be in lineups, period, end of story. I know the 49ers defense will scare some people. I think the Ravens are playing so well right now that they're not going to lose again, assuming that they don't get bit hard by the injury bug. I think they're going all the way.
Gideon has a quarterback question for Dave Richard. Gideon, you're on the Score.
Hey, the Ravens defense scares me, so I'm wondering if I should start Jimmy Garoppolo or Dak Prescott.
I'm going to go with Dak. I think the matchup against Buffalo isn't easy for him, just like last week's matchup against Dallas, or against New England, rather, wasn't easy for him. But I think the weather played a pretty big role in Prescott's ability to throw the football. That won't be a problem on Thanksgiving. And I think the Buffalo defense does have some holes in it, especially when you consider all the elements that Dak Prescott has at his disposal in the offense. Look for him to run a little bit more as well. I think he's a top 10 quarterback this week.
All right, let's try Jorn. He's in Paddock Lake. Good morning, Jorn.
Yeah, Dave, should I start Josh Allen against the Cowboys or Sam Darnold against the Bengals?
So I like Josh Allen this week, but I really, really like Sam Darnold, who's been playing well, at least 23 fantasy points each of his last three games. That's in leagues where touchdowns count for 6 points instead of 4. And he's playing Cincinnati. Their defense is really, really bad. I would expect Darnold to keep throwing the ball quite a bit and to keep finding those touchdowns. He should be able to do that against the Bengals. Top 6 quarterback in my rankings this week.
Good text question from somebody who wonders, on the Thursday games, those 3 games that are going on tomorrow, any sleepers at wide receiver, Dave?
Let's start with one in Chicago. Anthony Miller, I think he looks healthy now. David, you tell me, and Mully the same, you tell me if you think he looks a little bit better now compared to at the beginning of the season. Basically locked into that slot role, and if Taylor Gabriel's not going to play in the game, then I think that opens the door for Miller to continue to get the type of
I got to see more.
Seen.
I got to see more. He had a great game against the worst defense known to humankind in terms of explosive play. So I would like to see him do that against a better team before we get up on the podium and talk about how great he is and how we have a great.
He is playing smarter. I don't know if it's health or whatever, but
he's running
routes smarter.
All of a sudden.
But it is one
right.
game, and I think we have maybe exaggerated how much of a breakthrough that was, Dave. I think a lot of it depends on how what kind of rhythm Mitch Trubisky is in and how much he's willing to look away from Allen Robinson.
I get that. I get that. Now, one other sleeper receiver that I would go with for the Thursday games is Russell Gage with Atlanta. And this is contingent on Austin Hooper being out, especially Hooper, but also if Devontae Freeman doesn't play, because then that short area target that Matt Ryan needs to dump the ball off to, that becomes Gage. And those targets should be there for him again. So either Miller or Gage, and probably Gage ahead of Miller, is where you should go if you're looking for a sleeper for Thursday.
I'm very curious, when you see a change of quarterback to a third stringer, Dave, does that mean that the Bears are going to score on defense? Does that mean they have a better opportunity to be the defense return team type thing? Or and you mentioned Anthony Miller. Who else do you play in that game, or do you kind of run in a game like that?
Well, I think when it comes to the Lions, if it's going to be David Blau under center, yeah, you run the other way. I mean, yeah, maybe you hope that Kenny Golladay catches a long touchdown like he did against Chicago when Driscoll was playing when they took each other on a few weeks ago. But I don't feel so great about Bo Scarborough, their running back that they just found off the scrap heap, if it's Blau under center, because it makes it easier to defend the run when you've got a quarterback that you dare to beat you. And I think for Chicago, I think Tariq Cohen is starting to come into his own. We've seen at least 11 PPR points each of his last three games. His playing time has gone up. And David Montgomery, listen, they're trying with Montgomery, but he's just not able to put together many consistent runs, and certainly not many explosive runs. Cohen can do that. So I wonder if his role in the offense will expand while Montgomery just kind of fights through the struggle that he's going against. And it's a perfect matchup for him to do it against the Lions. They allow the third most yards per catch to running backs in the NFL this season.
Dave, every week we get questions about the Browns and their playmakers because they are, you know, well-known guys. How does their resurgence affect some of the decisions made this week?
I think that you've got to be a little more cautious about them this week than last week. I mean, last week they were playing Miami. You knew that they were going to have a big game. I think against the Steelers, you've got to be real careful about trusting them to the same extent. I think Odell is still startable, for example. Jarvis Landry has been better each of the last five games that they've played, so you're going to start him too. And the running backs, Nick Chubb especially, they're going to be in lineups. But Baker Mayfield's the one that I think maybe you take a cautious approach with. Maybe you have Mayfield and Carson Wentz, or Mayfield and Jared Goff. In that case, I get it. You're going to start Baker Mayfield, even with the tough matchup against the Steelers. But guys like Darnold, Ryan Tannehill, Kyler Murray, and even Josh Allen, I think they all belong ahead in lineups ahead of Baker Mayfield.
Gerard is in Chicago. Gerard, you're on with Dave Richard.
Morning, Dave. Morning, Dave. I have a wide receiver and defense question. Tyrell Williams or D.D. Westbrook? And then defense, Green Bay, 49ers, or Cowboys? Thank you.
If those are truly your only options on defense, I'd go with the Cowboys, but check to see if the Jets or Eagles or Panthers are out there. I actually think the Eagles defense could be a league winner for you. Their schedule is so good down the stretch. And for wide receiver, can't trust Tyrell Williams right now. He's just not getting the end zone targets that he got earlier this year. D.D. Westbrook has a better matchup and a better chance to score than Tyrell does.
Fred is calling from Crown Point. You're on the Score with Dave Richard.
Yes, do I dare bench San Francisco's defense against Lamar Jackson, or should I pick up one of the bottom feeders like the Jets or somebody?
Yeah, yeah. Go. Which would you rather do, Fred? Would you rather start a defense as good as the 49ers are against the league MVP and Lamar Jackson, or the Jets defense, which has been improving, against Andy Dalton and the Bengals? I'm going to go with the Jets here.
That's a wise move. Mario is in Oswego. Mario, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I had a flex question for wide receiver. Do I start John Brown or Jarvis Landry? I know you kind of talked on him, and yeah, I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Landry. I think the matchup is going to be hard for both of these receivers. And John Brown, to me, if he doesn't catch a long pass for a touchdown, he's not going to come through. He'll be no better than 11 or 12 PPR points for your fantasy squad. So I'll take the upside with Landry, who's playing very well.
Dave, a lot of love for Sam Darnold on the text line. Couple questions. Sam Darnold or Deshaun Watson, and Sam Darnold or Patrick Mahomes?
Mahomes over Darnold for sure. And I've got Watson and Darnold back-to-back in my rankings. And normally it's a no-brainer. You're going to go with Watson. But Watson's taken on the Patriots. And the Patriots tend to own the Texans when they play. And so it's really hard to expect a huge game from Deshaun Watson. And this kind of goes back to the decades-old argument in fantasy football. Do you just play your studs no matter who they play? Or do you play the matchups and forget about the studs? And there's no guaranteed answer to that question. It goes back and forth all the time. I think Darnold is probably a little bit safer than Watson. He probably just doesn't have quite as much upside as Watson does on a week-to-week basis, but the matchup does matter here.
Tom's in Highland. Tom, you're on with Dave Richard.
Good morning, guys. So I got Aaron Jones and Engram as my running backs, and then Thomas and Hopkins as my receivers. So as my flex, I was wondering if I should start Landry or Jonathan Williams for the Colts.
Let me ask you this. Is it a PPR league? Do catches count?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so Landry is where I would go. And it's a close call because Jonathan Williams played great last week. We weren't sure until maybe about 2 hours before kickoff if he was going to be the guy for Indianapolis, and he turned out that he was, and now he's going to continue to be. I like him a lot, but if the catches count, I think Jarvis Landry has an edge.
Tom is in Romeoville. You're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, good morning, guys. I got a PPR question. I need Adam Thielen or Kenny Galladay?
If Thielen plays, and this is the tricky part because we're not sure if he's going to play by Thursday, but if it does look like he's going to play, then I would go with Thielen over Galladay. But you might not get an honest answer on that until probably Saturday because the Vikings play on Monday, which means you might have to play it safe and go with Kenny G.
Dave, you're the best, buddy. Have a great Thanksgiving with the fam. Make sure you get some of that. What is Ray eating? What is it called?
Tofurkey.
Tofurkey.
Yeah, tofu turkey.
It's a vegan thing.
Yeah, I'm going to have absolutely none of that. I'm going to roll with a huge plate of mashed potatoes with turkey on top and maybe one vegetable.
Very enjoy yourself, Dave.
All right,
thanks,
Dave,
for everything.
See you, buddy.
Guys, happy Thanksgiving.
That should be a requirement. We should ask every guest what exactly they're going to eat
what
on
they're going to
Thanksgiving.
Eat? Hmm.
It's a pity we didn't do it when Ray was in here.
I know he's still here.
But what sides do you have with that? Can you have some gravy? Do you have to eat it dry? Is tofurkey dry to begin with?
There's a lot of problems. I'm no vegan, certainly, but there are a lot of excellent side dishes and veggies that are, you know, tossed around on Thanksgiving. You know, you got your green beans, your potatoes, your asparagus.
Green bean casserole.
Well, that's a little cheesy, I think.
Okay.
For Ray.
There is a little cheese in it.
Mostly cheesy, literally?
But you need a little crunch in it.
Were you saying is like literally cheese or cheesy
like literal?
You're not going to have green bean casserole, are you?
Pounds of cheese.
I think my new favorite thing is, you know, oftentimes you'll hear someone say, well, I'm not a doctor, but maybe you ought to not sneeze on my food. But Kevbo is, I'm not a vegan, but.
What vegetables are fantastic?
I'm not a vegan, but.
I'm also going to have boatloads of ham and turkey, but I'm also going to have a lot of vegetables.
Ham?
Ham.
Yeah, we do a ham and a turkey.
Mm. Do you? Really?
That's right.
The traditional roast goose with the turkey and stuffing of the ham.
We spin it around on the, with the apple in its mouth.
You tell your family, I might be a little bit late. I'm hanging out with my buddies Olin and Patrick.
I was going to see if Olin and Pat wanted to come with me, actually. Probably not.
Will Ray bring in some tofurkey for them? Ray, you're working, aren't you, tomorrow? Of course he is.
Says he's bringing it.
I love it. All right. Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.